Welcome to In Season, where we explore connections between people, plants, wildlife, and land here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm Teresa Retzloff, and today I am talking to a longtime In Season contributor, Jessica Schleif. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
So good to see you. If you don't know about Jessica, she is a local garden artist and wonderful horticultural knowledge bank. And I so enjoy our conversations, and especially when they're seasonal.
It must be spring.
It must be spring.
Because I'm back on, I feel like we have.
And it's always good to dig into what are we doing in our gardens? What are we thinking about? What it's good to do? Because you have such a depth of knowledge and experience here, and there's so many things that we've talked about over the years, and I have you in the back of my head talking to me saying, did you know that you can move bulbs around in the green and you can do these things? And I'm like, oh, is it time? You know, is it time to mow my lawn? Is it time to clear the leaves? So let's talk about that. And I just want to also say my goal for this show is to talk as little as possible because I'm getting over this terrible like chest cold thing that's going around. It's not COVID, but it's whatever the other thing is that goes on and on and on. So if I sound like a frog, and if occasionally I make terrible wheezing noises, I'm so sorry. I'm just going to try and sit here quietly and drink some tea and let Jessica share her knowledge, let it wash over me.
I think you sound great,
Teresa. Oh, thank you. I'm aiming for sexy and not like smoking two packs a day, but I think I'm veering towards the two pack
a day. I'm glad you're on the mend. It sounds like a lot of people have.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have had this. And it's frustrating when there's so much to get done and the weather is beautiful and you just want to be out. And my body is saying, no, don't do that. So anyway.
We're feeling like we're at my house. Teresa and I are at my house, and we're looking out at the crabapple tree just about to burst into blossom.
It is beautiful. It's covered in these beautiful little dark pink buds.
This is my indicator that it's actually really starting to happen. All our cherry blossoms and... I think we had a couple of false starts there, didn't we?
Well, that seems to be the pattern lately is, spring is always like that. It kind of swings back and forth. You know, you have these warm days and then suddenly it's frost again. And there's lots of false starts, false springs. But we had some weather this year that I think is making the reemergence of spring this year kind of challenging. So talk a little bit about we had a bad freeze. And I know people are going out and looking at their plants that look like hell, especially rosemary.
I have to. This year was a really tough one. There were things like the Irene rosemary that have been solid performers for probably, 13 plus years. I haven't really lost any of those in the winter. And it's a amazing early spring pollinator food, and for me and many of the gardens, including my home garden, that is something that's in bloom not just early but through the season and through the winter. Anytime we get a sun break and the temps come up, that's where I see honeybees, that's where I see pollinators is on that rosemary. And boy, that last cold snap where we were all kind of stuck at home, and even after the snow went away and the ice started melting, there were still pockets of neighborhoods here that were completely frozen in and couldn't drive. And once I got back out to see things, that rosemary really took a hit. And I am right there with you, everybody, kind of wondering, is this live? Is this dead? I see tiny bits of new growth. And I think now we're safe to kind of start going into some of those plants, some of those shrubs, some of those perennials that were damaged during that weather, and start to try and look for new growth. Start to try and look to see where the new growth is coming from. I'm doing a little petting on these shrubs and things to kind of see,
knocking
the dead stuff off, so I can kind of, greet them and say, hi, I'm here, and are you here?
It's hard to tell sometimes.
It is hard to tell. And, one of the tricks that we talk about is using the edge of your secateurs or a fingernail to kind of just in some spots, look, dig into the bark a little bit, not just the outer part of the bark. We can see in there if there's wick, if there's a greenness to indicate still live growth. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some real hard prune backs. And honestly, in some places with those rosemaries, I'm thinking I'm just going to take some things out.
Yeah.
Cut them to the ground. You can go ahead and leave the root system in.
Mm-hmm. You know, no need to dig it out.
No need to dig it out.
Some of those are monsters.
Some of those are monsters, and those root systems will rot in place if you're gonna plant another or plant somebody else. You can go ahead and extricate a hole next to that plant and dig out roots. But it's okay to go ahead and leave in place. It's okay to fork out too, mm-hmm. or dig out too. Sometimes, though, if we let those things, and you know this from the vegetable gardens, mm-hmm. and sunflowers and big monster kales and stuff, sometimes if we just chop those things at the base, that becomes a really nice avenue for air and wild little critters and things to get in and work the soil. And because those things have roots that go down deeper, as they're rotting, it can really add to the soil structure and kind of loosen things up.
So less work too,
less
which is great.
Too. But it doesn't mm-hmm. Answer the question of, do I replant that?
Yeah.
And I don't have that answer. I'm thinking about other tender perennials that have been solid for me over the years, like chocolate cosmos, a tuber, things that used to, you know, croak on me during the winter, things that wouldn't make it through winter that I treated like an annual. And we've been really lucky and not had these things die for another number of seasons. So now I'm kind of like, oh, do I? And fellow listeners, mm-hmm. that's really your decision.
Well, I mean, it's true. I also look at this as an opportunity. Sometimes, yes. like a big shrub dies or it's so badly damaged that it can't really come back from whatever hit it took.
When we're talking about larger things like that.
But I mean, a large rosemary is like a big, it can take
it
up
is.
A lot of space. But sometimes it's like, okay, well, that's gone. Now I have a space in my garden.
Right. And thinking about something new and, mm-hmm. and maybe something. And this is a great opportunity if you're thinking about working in more natives.
Yeah. Things that are hardy.
Things that are hardy. And we're moving into that season where there's going to be all kinds of plant sales, master gardeners, Hardy Plant Society, the Soil and Watershed. You know, everyone's going to be having plant sales coming up. And that's a nice opportunity to kind of see what's available, see what's out there, research a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know there's some perennials that I'm really making friends with sneaking into my gardens. And you're right, it's an opportunity. I'm sorry, but when I looked at all those rosemaries, I planted so much of that because it was such good bee food.
Well, and it's so, and they have been so hardy. They've just been one of those plants that it's really hard to kill. And it seems like a no-brainer, you know, especially up for a low-care garden or, you know, just those spots where you're not going to take a lot of care of it. They've just seemed to thrive. And it is always a shock when then some weather event happens. I mean, I feel like it's kind of the reverse of that heat dome we had a few years ago.
Yeah.
Where it was just that extreme heat. And that also killed some things that just couldn't tolerate, you know, 108-degree weather.
And that heat dome, and I know that we've talked about this a little bit before, but like that heat dome, I'm still seeing things that I'm pretty sure, oh, that was that heat dome. Mm-hmm. You know, large roadies.
Yeah.
Cedar trees.
Yeah.
You know, things that I'm like, what the? And then I think, oh, west facing, like got really stressed. So,
and I think that's something that, you know, as our climate just continues to get more volatile and we have more of these extreme weather events, you know, I'm learning to detach. I think it's like emotionally detached. I try not to get too precious about anything.
And thinking about it as an evolution.
Yeah.
Things are changing.
Yeah.
Things are changing. And like, I can't help it. There is a small part of me that's like, no, but that fear isn't going to help us, you know, make new decisions. And, and so some of the things that I'm really excited about dividing right now that mm-hmm. are things that I wait till the spring to divide are ornamental grasses. Mm-hmm. This is a great time to take your sharp shovel or your bamboo shovel or your good and a little dirt saw and some of your favorite ornamental grasses.
Get in there.
Yeah, get in there. Take chunks off. You don't have to take the whole thing out.
Do you cut them back or do you just pull out the dead stuff?
This is the time now where I will cut ornamental grasses back. And I often use shears. I've seen some new techniques that I just love where people are going 6 inches, 6 inches, 6 inches, and just letting that ornamental grass debris fall around the grasses. Mm-hmm. And then you can go ahead and compost on top of that. And I know a lot of people are asking me, and I sometimes ponder in my own like springtime and pre-springtime maintenance in gardens, care in gardens. I it's hard to know when. When do I? What do I? And my answer for a lot of the plant beds now is don't.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead and let those leaves stay in there. Move leaves away from perennial crowns. Move leaves and debris in sections that you want to start seedlings, or if you have seedlings. And I'm kind of doing that through the season. Mm-hmm. If I see, oh, look, I've got a lot of my self-sowers. Here's some of my Shirley poppies that seeded in the fall, or here's some, you know, some Nivernum poppies or Lunaria or, you know, different things that are seeding, I'll go ahead and give them a little, I'm going to move this debris away from them. Mm-hmm. But when I'm chopping down those ornamental grasses, I can just go ahead and compost on top of that.
Let the debris lay.
And compost over the top of it. Move, let your perennials and your bulbs and your things like that, you need to mm-hmm. do a little bit of work. You need to be on the ground kind of looking like, mm-hmm. and honestly, if you don't, those bulbs are going to make it up through there. I'm always amazed. I think, oh, I
should
go and find.
They can poke through almost anything.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, they are very resilient. And I do want to ask you about bulbs, although I want you to keep talking about dividing things too. So we'll get into bulbs a little bit later. But just that idea of, I mean, would you say, though, if you see foliage that's obviously diseased, obviously don't leave that on the ground.
Yeah, and we've kind of, orchards.
Yeah, don't
do that. Any of the fruit trees, I'm raking those in mm-hmm. the fall. I'm not letting that stuff sit on the ground in the fall. If I've had tomatoes, mm-hmm. and the veggie garden is really kind of a different
It's a different
world.
Story. So we're talking mostly about ornamental gardens in this sense. I mean, there are a lot of things that you can use as mulch. And I think, I do this a lot with plant debris in my farm beds. As long as it's not diseased, as long as it's not covered in aphids or something like that. But if it's just like plants that have died back, I'll chop and drop.
And I used to chop and drop and then push everything to the back of the bed when I thought, oh, the season's opening.
Yeah.
I'm going to push this all to the back of the bed. And you know what I really started noticing is when I'm moving things around, out comes Mrs. Bumblebee, I'm uncovering, I'm messing with everybody's homes. Yeah. I'm seeing, Pacific newts. I'm seeing things that I'm like, oh, I just created habitat for you.
And now you're messing it up.
And now I'm like messing around with you. So I'm trying to do a lot more just mulching on the top. And also, oh my gosh, does that make the most beautiful soil structure? When you do get in there after five seasons of doing that in your borders and you decide, oh, I'm going to replace this shrub that just mm-hmm. croaked this winter because I have this beautiful red twig dogwood or snowberry and I'm digging, oh, it's just like butter. And that is when we do weeding, when we are weeding things that we don't want to proliferate in our gardens. What a treat, to be able to just pull things out of the ground without any effort instead of having to pry bar out weeds, thistles or things from soil that is totally compacted.
So just leaving that debris to break down and adding compost on top, that's doing the soil structure building.
You're mimicking nature. And
it's like that lovely loose loamy soil.
I was just recently paid a compliment about my craft from a client that talked about how I never dictated in the garden. I just guided. It made me cry. I just thought that was the most lovely compliment from someone that had watched me garden for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, listen to the plants. Watch the way that nature, when you're going on your walks in Shively Park or you're going on your walks at the... when you're going on your walks,
anywhere out in nature,
where people aren't
places.
Messing around with it. I think that gardening is one way that we create culture, and we can create culture in our gardens that gives a nod to nature, that says, I am part of nature, and I'm going to create a garden that says that and embraces that, and that is part of culture, and that is a gift that we can give our children and our neighbors to see how beautiful that can be.
That is okay. We're gonna take a short break here while we both like take a sip of tea, and I'm gonna reintroduce my guest. If you're just joining us, you're listening to In Season on KMUN 91.9 FM, and I'm your host Teresa Retzloff, and I'm speaking to local garden artist Jessica Schleif. That is such a beautiful sentiment and speaks so deeply to my heart and how I try to see land. And
you're doing at the farm.
I mean, it's always a challenge, you know, especially when you're doing anything, you know, agriculture can be so destructive. And trying to do agriculture in a way that is in a relationship with nature and respectful of those processes and, you know, understanding that there is extraction involved, but like trying to give back, it's challenging. I do think it's possible and something that we need to be mindful of heading into the future, because these are all things that we can do to help nature. Nature is...
And we don't, you know, in the, I don't know, Europe is so... There are different places in the world where there are cultural gardens, and that is a little bit more intact, and we, you know, we have the national parks, but we don't really we don't have a national trust system like when I lived in England and I could see all these gardens, and I was a young enough person that I came back to the States and thought, where is that here? And I didn't really understand, like, oh, we do not put money into that, but we can do that in our own backyards.
That's true.
We can do that in our own street gardens.
And I think it's a wonderful thing, too, to be walking around in your neighborhoods, wherever you are, and seek inspiration from other gardens and talk to the gardeners, talk to people there, and make those connections. I think we learn so much from each other.
And swapping plants,
That's always good,
too.
I mean,
I love that. And this is such a... You know, we're kind of going into the bulb season.
Okay, so
we?
I want to talk about bulbs, because this is a question. So I have, because you've mentioned this a lot before, and I have on my farm a big row of narcissus that I planted probably about 4 years ago now. And I'm definitely noting some of the varieties seem to be getting really crowded. And I've got two new, I'm going to expand, I'm going to do two beds of narcissus. So I want to dig them up and move them. And I had always thought I had to wait till the fall, which is when you normally order bulbs and plant them, but you've told me in the past that I can do it like after they're finished flowering, but there's still green leaves on them. I could just dig them up and move them then.
It's true.
And I'm not going to hurt them, and it's
not
going to be terrible.
Hurt them. It's not going to be terrible. You're going to be messing with your scene a little bit, you know, like you're, but yeah, narcissus, the fritillary, the erythroniums, the pretty much any of the bulbs or the tubers or the corms, cyclamen are a really great one too after they've done their bloom to be
so
able,
the key thing is after they've bloomed.
After they've bloomed. I mean, you could do it in the bloom, but you would lose getting to watch that bloom. If you're really, you know, the Buddha and you don't care about this year and you can look, you know, forward into the, actually that wouldn't be the Buddha. Anyway, you can, yes, you can do it right after they bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Or even as the foliage is dying, lifting them gently with a fork.
Make sure you get the whole
thing. Make sure you get the whole thing. And then when you're sometimes I take a tray with me. I'll put them into a tray. I'll pull the bulbs apart just with my hands.
Do you separate out the little bulblets? Because a lot of things like narcissus, I mean, how they propagate is they form these little bulblets or yeah. tulips or things like that. Yeah.
So sometimes I'll take the smaller ones. Sometimes I even stick the smaller ones into pottery mm-hmm. so I can kind of keep an eye on them. Or you can just like take those and put them in a section. Think about the mature size of the bulb and give them enough space between the bulbs. Things will decline in their bloom if they're too tight often. Not everybody, but a lot of them, especially narcissus. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that with my hoop petticoats. Like the bulbocodiums, some of those older varieties, where I wasn't getting any blooms and my foliage was kind of declining in size. But mm-hmm. once I took them apart, moved them around, created more space and was able to fertilize, bam, next year, you know, I had like these beautiful blossoms. It's also a great way to... If you have a vignette that you really love, if you have, you know, these fritillaria, or I just mentioned that over and over again because they are just magic right now. These are the snakehead lilies or the checkerboard lilies. Oh. They're just, oh, they're on fire this year. And sometimes when you divide those out, there are just teeny tiny ones. But say you have a vignette that you love, you can repeat that vignette. You know, you can say, oh, look, I love this with this cashmere hardy geranium. And you can go ahead and divide those two, your perennials too. I often try to do those sorts of things in the fall.
Yeah.
But the bulbs, you can go ahead and think about entryways, think about exits, replicating that picture in multiple ways through your borders or different parts of the garden. It's an amazing way to get more bulbs and really feel a naturalized, naturalistic, flowing picture. And for me, the way that my brain works, I really love doing that on site. I really love being able to handle the plants and create that picture, not on paper, but right there in my plant bed or my garden.
You're just seeing it as you're planting.
Yes. Yeah. Or I'm working. I'm grooming during the summer or adding things or weeding and I'll see it. You know, I'll think, oh God, what if I had that over there? Or I'll see where my eye is going or I'll see where my eye gets stuck. Asking the plants questions like, hey, would you like to go?
Do you want to move over there?
Yeah.
It's pretty sunny.
It looks like a pretty good spot over there.
I like the idea of having these conversations and think and being inspired and seeing what looks good there and like maybe that could repeat over here. And it's such a reassurance. One of the things I love talking to you about the ornamental stuff, since I went so hard into farming and agriculture and especially, you know, more edible plants or even cut flowers, a lot of the perennials, like I forgot mm-hmm. how to do this stuff. So it's such a delight to have you remind me and also reassure me that it's okay
yeah.
to do these things.
Alliums, the fritillaria, the snowdrops. I've already done this with some of the snowdrops, like as they were declining mm-hmm. under trees. I went ahead and dug some bigger clumps and moved them around, little serpentine, you know, streams of the snowdrops through beds. And that is a great time to pot some up too so that you can gift your neighbors with these things.
That's a really lovely way to look at it too, because sometimes these things just really propagate.
They do, and
you might
so
end up
expensive.
With more than you need.
And we have such a, I've noticed through, you know, 20 plus years of gardening, garden coaching with people, people have an idea that they need to buy new things. Oh, no, let's not divide that. I'll just get another one. And yeah. It's like, actually, that plant might be really happy to be divided and moved around. And then you have something to gift.
Yeah.
Your kids or the neighbor down the street that admired that plant or gave you some great plant advice 10 years ago. Or
I love that plant sharing that happens between friends, between neighbors.
That's community building too.
Absolutely.
Community building through our allies, the plant world.
I know. And I think never be afraid, you know, if there's a plant that you admire in someone's garden and you see them out working in your garden, you know, and just say, hey, if you're ever digging or dividing, you know, I'd love to, you know, get a cutting of that or get a division of that. I'm happy to help. I'm happy to do something in exchange. But that is a wonderful way to be able to access plants that you see thriving in your neighborhood. That's such a good thing to do. And we're also excited this time of year because spring just opens up so much. I do feel like it's also always prudent to say, you know, be mindful that spring has many false starts.
Yes. And,
you know, I was talking to a friend the other day, my friend Dan, and he was like, well, I was looking at the weather and, you know, the guy he was listening to is saying, yeah, we're going to have another hard freeze in April. There's going to be another hard freeze in May. And I'm like, don't tell me these things. I don't want to hear this. So, you know, I mean, maybe that's going to happen, maybe not. But just, you know, be prepared that, you know, there could still be some cold, cold weather.
Some of this chopping and dropping can help with that, too.
Yeah.
I want to mention Leslie Bennett, an Oakland-based woman that wrote a book called Garden Wonderland that's coming out this month. And really, the things that I'm talking about creating culture, I have thought about this a lot, but listening to her speak recently, like, it really brought that home.
Oh, that's a good recommendation. Thanks. Yeah, it's always lovely to have a good book to read sitting out in your garden.
Ten after Speed Press.
A hard day's work. And look for that. I think it can be so inspiring to learn from people who've been doing this a long time, much like I learned from you, Jessica. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me
on today. It's always a delight to talk and to talk seasons and transitions and what to do and to hear about what you're thinking about and doing. I'm gonna let my leaves sit a bit longer, maybe just forever, and just keep adding to those piles and not feel like I need to clean everything up. And maybe I'll put off mowing the grass a little bit longer too.
Yeah, if you got a big pile of leaves, just plant some sunflowers around it for the season.
You know, I think it also takes so much pressure off us too. I mean, because you were saying too, like we're holding ourselves to these standards, you know, of like what a good garden should
look
like.
And who created those standards? I mean, it's like chemical people. Like, yeah, everything better be real clean. Sorry, I wasn't going to make you laugh.
Okay, before I have a massive coughing fit, I think we're going to wrap up. It's been so delightful to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm so looking forward to seeing what happens and sharing plants with you. And and I hope everyone out there listening is enjoying their gardens as we're waking up and getting to see the migrating birds coming back and seeing the buds form and watching the blooms happen. And
always a pleasure to come and talk to you, Teresa. And thank you. Thank you for your steady work with this radio show. It's always a treat.
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks to everybody who's been listening. Thanks for listening to KMUN and for being part of our community. And I hope you have a good gardening season. Thanks.